The memo, I mean, the flyer. Janaya made the flyer.
And look, as soon as she posted, people start lacking it what to share. I was like,
that's good. Oh my god. Okay. Hello and welcome to Second Row Conversations. I'm Letitia, also known as Lady P, and I'm so excited that you decided to join me today on the Second Row. First, before I get started, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been showing love for the podcast. I see the comments. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I appreciate you sharing the love and telling other people about Second Row Conversations. And I appreciate you also commenting. Thank you, thank you. I can't say thank you enough. So I appreciate it. Please keep coming on with the comments. Let me know about your message of the week. I continue to post that, and we're going to talk about that a little later on today. But I ask that you just continue to let me know how this is helping you, and make sure you comment. Leave me a comment. Let me know if this is good for you, okay? So on today, I'm excited to have my friend, my family member. Yeah! Right, life is, we got to talk about how life has brought us all together again, yes! Right? But I'm excited to have First Lady Jessica Cato. Right. Who would have ever thought?
Who? The question.
Who would have thought? Right. Yes. So a little bit of background. So Jessica and I are related, sort of, kind of, but we're related. We share cousins. So her cousins on her mom's side.
Yes.
Are my cousins on my mama's side.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So shout out to the Bradleys. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
So that's how we initially.
Yes.
Connected.
Right.
And then life kind of came around full circle. Mm-hmm. And you married my friend, my former colleague, Troy Cato.
Yes.
Hey, Troy.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor. Hey, babe.
So it's funny how life has come full circle.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But it's amazing. And I'm excited.
I am.
Thank you so much for being willing to join
Girl,
me.
Girl, when you called me, I was like, I'm there.
Yes.
No hesitation. I'm there.
Yeah. So thank you. So to start off, I always ask my guests, what are three words that your friends would use to describe you? And I know you watched the episode, so I hope you hadn't been like,
no,
practice. Okay.
No,
okay. Okay.
No,
good.
No.
So what are three words that your friends would use to describe you?
Okay. My friends, three words they would use. Mm-hmm. Lovable.
Okay.
Fun. Mm-hmm. And kind of sarcastic a little bit.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Where does the sarcasm come from? What is that about?
People not using common sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, you asking me a question you already know the answer to. So I'm like, so why are you? Yeah, they would say that about me.
They would
me.
Say that.
Yeah.
Okay. But of course, the fun, and we see that already. The fun. Yeah.
I've always been energetic type person.
Okay.
I don't never like have like a dull moment. Mm-hmm. Never have like a dull moment.
Okay.
Okay. If I can make people smile,
that's just me. Yeah.
That's me.
And that kind of rolled over into your life as a cheerleader for Psychonauta State University.
Go Bulldogs. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
So did you cheer all 4 years? No. Okay.
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Surprisingly, I cheered starting in middle school.
Okay.
Cheered middle school, cheered all 4 years at Manning High School. Okay. Shout out to the Monarchs.
Right.
And then I cheered 2 years at South Carolina State University.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So that's just in you being a cheerleader.
Yes.
The excitement, the fun. That's all.
Yeah.
That's
yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Well, good. And lovable.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I love on people. Because I don't ever like to see nobody sad.
Yes.
So that is just me. I'm a hugger. Like when people meet me, I embrace you. Okay. I hug them. I'm like, I'm a hugger. I'm like, oh, I am too. We give these tight hugs and stuff like that. So
Good. So let's go. And that's right. She's from Manning. That's our hometown.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, it's all the connections.
Yes.
From all the connections. So life as a first lady. Did you ever think that you would be in this seat serving as a first lady?
I'm going to say yes and no.
Okay.
The yes part, my auntie came to me while me and Troy were dating. She said, "First lady look good on you." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, it looks good on you." And I was like, I really didn't see that happening. Mm-hmm. But then I had to be honest with myself. I pushed Troy because I saw it in him. Mm-hmm. And because I saw it in him, that let him know, like, okay, she's pushing me. Then she knows that what God has prepared for me or God has in store for me. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say it's the yes and then the no.
Okay. What was the no?
The no was like, oh God, I'm gonna have to wear hats. I have to sit, right, I got yes. to sit on the front row. Yeah. I have to sit this way. Mm-hmm. I have to be serious all the time. Okay. But then Troy was like, be you. Right. Because opposites, my husband's very reserved. He's kind of quiet a little bit until he gets to know people. Mm-hmm. He'll speak and stuff like that. But once he gets to know you, you know, he opens up. Yeah. Me, I'm that ball of energy for him. You know, hey, y'all, you know, how y'all doing? Mm-hmm. Let me love on you. Let me squeeze your neck. Right, you know, that type thing. And it doesn't matter how old or young a person is. Okay. That's always been me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be that type person. Yeah. But yeah, back to the question. Yeah, that was the yeah and the no part, because I thought I had to be serious.
Okay.
Because of what I saw with some first ladies.
Oh.
You know, some were, and don't get me wrong, they were very prestige mm-hmm. women. You know, they would sit up like this and have to sit, you know, back like this, sit back and, yeah, straight and stuff like
and
that.
And I'm like, and all of the things,
right. And I'm like, I don't like sitting on no front row because I know me when I have on a dress, I got to sit with my ankles crossed, and I can't sit, you know, how I really want to sit. But they're, you know, learning to be ladylike. Because as a first ladies that you see, they're always going to be ladylike, mm-hmm. but you also got to be personable. Right. And that's the thing. I was like, I have to be me. I cannot just not love on people and have fun, you know. You have to get to know your congregation. Once you get to know your congregation and build that relationship, your church will blossom and grow.
Yes, it will.
You know, that's why you got to love back to that loving
back, right?
But yeah,
and that comes natural for you. The lovable comes natural for you.
It does.
I think too, and like you said, a lot of times people have those preconceived notions of what First Lady is because of what you saw growing up. There was a look.
Right.
There was a feel about them. Like they walked in, you just knew that, that's the first lady right there. And so you didn't want to, from what I hear, you didn't want to be fake.
Right.
You wanted to be you.
Exactly.
But also represent first ladydom.
Right. Exactly.
Well, right. So
right.
I can see that being. Yeah. And you grew up in a church, Green Hill Baptist Church.
Listen.
Let's talk about it.
Let's get into it.
Growing up
Baptist. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Choir. Mm-hmm. Choir director, mm-hmm. praise dancer, usher, mm-hmm. Sunday school teacher, Sunday school secretary, mm-hmm. Church clerk, oh God, praise dance ministry, mm-hmm. My ministry, health and wellness ministry. I was a part of it all because that's how my mom set the foundation for me and my brother.
Yes.
And it's all about foundation. Mm-hmm. So when me and Troy were dating, he was like, "I know you in the church." I started laughing. I was like, "Well, how you figured I'm in the church?" Because every time I turn around, you at practice. You at choir practice. You at practice for something.
Right,
so that was a good thing that I was involved in church. So being at Green Hill, it taught me a lot because it developed me as a leader.
Yes.
It developed me as a leader.
Yes.
So my Baptist roots run strong and deep. And now I am United Methodist. So
how was that transition?
It was easy.
Okay.
And the reason why I made it easy because of the foundation, because me growing up in church. Because some people, they were like, "Okay, I've never been in church all my life." Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But with your walk in Christ, it's going to show your growth. And because you have a story to tell, it's going to lead other people to, like, you know what? She did it or he did it, then I can do it as well.
That's right.
So yeah, but growing up in the church, and you know, it was hard for me to leave my church once I got married. So I was like, they really going to me, because I was praise team and praise and worship leader. Education committee, Marcy, I'm just starting to think of things. Like, I was like, "Oh, I did this and I also did this." Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was hard for me to leave. But when we got to our first assignment, now let me give you a timeline. We got married December 2017.
Yes.
I got pregnant March 2018 uh-huh. with Maddie.
Okay.
About May, Troy tells me, "Oh, I got a church." I said, "What?" He said, they're sending me to a church. They're assigning me to a church. Our first assignment is in Bishopville. So things started
rolling.
And when I say rolling, it hasn't stopped since. So July 1st, or I'm paraphrasing, July 8th, 2018 was our first Sunday at church. I was pregnant with Madeline. So I was pregnant with Maddie, and they found out I could sing. They found out I could praise dance, all because my husband said, oh, Lady Jessica got some talents. And I was like, I do. Because I realized I could not sit hush mouth on the talent that I had.
Yes.
Because God gave it to me. I have to use it. Yes. I have to utilize it. So Troy was like, oh, yeah, she could do all that stuff. Oh, we got somebody that could watch the baby. Oh, we got somebody that could do it. I was like, okay, I got some babysitters, some on-hand people that can help me at church.
Okay.
But yeah, with the talent and stuff like that, I call it a gift. I'm not gonna even call it a talent. It's a gift.
Yes.
So with the gifts that I had, it was like, okay, I can't sit back anymore. I have to. And they were giving me grace because I was pregnant with Maddie, didn't want me to do too much.
Right.
But started rolling, and we had a new church now in Sumter.
Okay.
Been there for a year. Shout out to tell you how God worked. I don't have to memorize no other name. Went from Mount Zion, Bishopville to Mount Zion, Sumter.
Okay. Because he knew.
Yeah. I was like, oh God, I was like, Lord, I'm going to have to memorize a whole nother name. I don't want to get up here and say the wrong name.
Right.
So when we moved last year, and a lady got up and said, oh, his wife can sing too. And everybody started looking at me. I was like, I said, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I sure can. Mm-hmm. And then by the second Sunday or third Sunday, I was up singing wow. on the choir. And Maddie was sitting right there by me.
You were graced for it.
Yes.
And so, yeah, he knew that Cato was going to need.
Yes.
He knew the plan he had. And that's what I want to talk about, because I know that's one of your favorite scriptures. Yeah. But he knew that having Cato as the pastor, he was going to need that good support.
Yes.
I want to go back to something you said. You're a pusher.
Yes.
Always, I'm assuming, that was that pusher. How has that helped in ministry with you being able to push him and pushing yourself too? Because I hear you saying you would just wanted to sit back and participate, but not do all the things as first lady. But how has that helped you as well as him?
It helped both of us because it pushed us beyond what we thought we were supposed to be doing.
Okay.
For him, it's trying to get my thoughts together. For him, being a pusher is like being his biggest supporter.
Yeah.
Because when we go places, your husband wants to see a familiar face, especially if a place he's never been before.
That's right.
So, you know, if anybody else gonna say amen, I can't say amen, babe. I have to say amen. That's right. Uh-huh. Speak, sir. Uh-huh. You're in the good, you know, those type of things. Mm-hmm. But also push him beyond ideas and stuff that he has.
Yeah.
Because as a pastor, pastors have visions for their church, and not only for their church, for themselves. Where do they see the church going? You know, how are we going to get there?
Yeah.
So he'll run things by me. I'm like, oh, let's do that. Mm-hmm. And I have to remember what I'm signing myself up for, because I'm, like you said, I'm pushing him. He's pushing me. Like, okay, then I want you to do such and such.
Wait, I didn't expect to have to do that.
Exactly. Yes.
And then I was just encouraging you, not making me a part of this ride.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
One thing I had to learn, all the stuff that I did at Green Hill, I had to learn, okay, you did all of this stuff, but when you're coming into somebody else's house you've never been in before, I want to sit back and watch and see what needed to be done.
Yeah.
And so I remember Troy asking me, he said, okay, what areas do you want to work with? Because I work with children by profession. He said, okay, I know you're going to do it with children and youth. He said, but I want you to pick another one. And that's when I picked the women's ministry.
Okay.
So last year, I helped the women have their first ever at Mount Zion Sumter Women's Conference.
Wow.
We had our first ever. Okay. They said, we never had this before. And I was like, I said, okay, God, I see what you're doing, but I helped them organize it.
Okay.
So it was a matter of them, like, okay, let's see how this is actually going to play out. But then when I say very simple, they were on board. When I had that meeting after church, I said, ladies, we're going to have, it was Women's History Month in March.
Okay.
We're going to have a women's car. Oh, oh, they were excited. What do you need? Do you need me to do this? I'm over this. Do you need this? So I knew people who had gifts. Okay, this person's over this. They're good with this. I'm going to put them over this. They're over this. I'm going to put them over this.
Right.
So we had, you know, my aunt came and spoke. It was the very first one. I ended up speaking on that actual Sunday.
Okay.
Because in United Methodist, they have lay servants. So your lay servants speak. And so when I was telling Troy about everything, he was just excited. He was like, you know, you're speaking that Sunday. I said, okay.
Again, pushing you.
Yeah, pushing me. I said, okay. No problem, because I didn't have a problem speaking in front of people.
Right.
You know, so.
Foundation.
Yes.
Goes right to foundation.
Yes. Yeah. And also shout out to Coach Haynes, FFA, because.
Hey, Coach Haynes.
Hey, Coach Haynes. Because to get up there, Easter speech is one thing, but when you, you know, the push, like you said, the push. So,
Awesome. Yeah. So, and y'all are celebrating, I think, 162
years next month.
That's amazing. And for that to be the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So God placed you right where you needed to be.
Exactly.
And an effective leader knows, like you said, you identified the strengths of your people.
Yes.
And said, hey, you do this, you do that. That's what effective leadership looks like.
Yes.
And so again, pushing, y'all pushing each other.
Yes.
I'm sure that was kind of taking you out of your comfort zone.
Did it. Troy said to me, Troy said, now when we was in Bishopville, you work with the youth. You, you know, work with the ladies only when they ask you to. He said, this is going to be, I want you to push the ladies. And I was like, I said, okay. Mm-hmm. He said, you got the help there.
Yeah.
And being pushed beyond your comfort zone is what increases your confidence. And like, okay, I can do this because I have help. Nobody ever says, oh, I got to do this all by myself.
That's right.
Because it wasn't for me. It was for the women in the church.
Yeah.
Something that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, I was like, okay, this is going better than I expected.
Yeah.
But that's where I get when my faith is weary.
Right.
My faith was, I was like, oh God, I was like, this ain't gonna go all right. I don't know what people gonna be mad at me. They're gonna be talking about me because this didn't get. And then I had to realize this is the first thing. This is a trial and error. You see what work and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And as a pusher, you have to give people that grace so that they can, you know, mistakes are gonna be made.
Yeah.
Nobody is perfect.
Nobody.
You know, but they, those ladies supported. They're excited about the one we planning in March.
In
I was
March.
Like, y'all want to keep it? Oh, yeah. We keep it in March on the fourth weekend. Oh, say less. Okay. Just got to get some, you know, get the ball rolling.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We probably have to move to a different location for the luncheon we normally do on Saturday.
Okay.
So I'm.
That's God. That's God moving. Yeah. And that's when your faith gets weary. That's when you really, truly rely on God.
Yes, ma'am.
Because it's not anything that you're doing yourself.
Right.
Not you relying on your own, trusting your own self.
Right.
Is trusting what God is doing.
Yes.
So, and the women trust you.
Right.
So when they see that you are working along with them and not being like going back to that ideal, what we thought first lady
ladies
looked
were.
Right?
Exactly.
So, because I think at one time that's what it was. They didn't participate. Mm-hmm. They didn't. They just came in, sat down, and was pretty, wore the hats, wore the pearls and the things. But now it's, no, what can we do to support our members?
Right.
And members appreciate that.
They do.
They do appreciate that.
When we got there, and I did not realize this, neither Troy nor I realized this, when we got there last year, is I think they said 20 years since they had a first lady or a male, like a male pastor with a first lady. So we were 20 years. I was like, me and Troy kind of had to keep the straight face a little bit. But you know, we were like, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, wow. But the love was felt being a young couple.
Okay. Yeah. And I wanted to talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah. But in a church that has been around so long,
right.
And then you guys are a young couple.
Right.
How has that been?
Awesome.
Good.
Because going back to that, loving on people, I pull in the, like, I want you to do this. Or if, with the youth coordinator, I'm like, okay, I have, you know, we need to pull our youth in. And she agreed 100%. So when we have certain Sundays for youth, they'll do scripture. Of course, the youth choir sang, praise dance. They bring in all of that stuff back. So the church is growing.
Amen.
It is growing. Just this past, on yesterday, we had 12 people to join.
I saw that.
I was like,
I was so excited.
And I was like, oh my God, you know, it's like one of these things, like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. You know, something is clicking.
Yeah.
you know, and people want to come and be a part. And their church is all over. But, you know, when you're at your church and you see people coming, like, oh, yes, we got another one. Oh, yes. And when you get people, you have to learn how to keep them and embrace them.
Okay. How do you do that?
Love them, pull them in, like, okay, I know you can do this.
Yeah.
So I want you to, you know, you know, I want you to, I know you can sing. Oh, and they say, Ms. Jessica, I can't sing. Try.
Yeah.
And support them. Give them that push.
Right.
You know, and it's not always about feeding people all the time. Like, we always think, like, oh, we got to have a church, you know,
dinner,
some whatever time.
Yeah, spaghetti exactly. Dinner, that, right, fries
just,
fish.
Right. Just to pull people in. Once they hear and see what you are doing,
yes,
it draws them in. But what draws them even more is the actual love of people, that you are actually excited for them to be here. Not looking at them, oh, here comes just another member just to come. Mm-hmm. You know, so just embracing people.
Yeah, and meeting them where they are. Meeting them where they are and helping them.
Yes.
My father-in-law always says, you know, when he goes fishing, you don't clean the fish up before you catch them.
Hello.
You have to catch the fish.
Yes.
Then you can clean them up.
Yes.
You know, so they don't come in perfect. No, they're not going to come in perfect.
Right.
But you love them. You meet them where they are. You help them. Because someone helped us.
Hello.
Someone prayed for us.
Right.
And when we got off track, they came in and talked to us.
Right.
And so that's important. So people feel loved.
Exactly.
And that's what draw.
Exactly.
That's
like you said about meeting people where they are. Mm-hmm. People come from all different walks of life.
Yes.
And my parents taught me not to judge anybody based off of social status, what they look like, what they drive, none of that stuff, because you don't know what people are going through.
Right.
And so a lot of times, like I tell people, sometimes you're the first church that people see, especially if you are a lover of Christ and you call yourself a son or daughter of God, then you have to show that at all times. Be surprised what a smile, a hug, word of encouragement can do for people who are going through and don't know Christ.
Exactly.
So
that's so important.
Yes.
Because you said we are the Bible.
Yes.
We are the only Bible sometimes that people see.
Exactly.
We are the only word of encouragement that they have heard in who knows how long.
Exactly.
Right. So that's what, you know, we try to at our church is like, especially with the ushers. Like, listen, when people come in, you're the first person that they may interact with.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want that to be a negative interaction.
Exactly.
So when they come in, you need to, good morning, how are you, welcome, let them know that they are indeed welcome.
Exactly.
Because that can make or break. And before they even hear the word, they hear a song, it's how do you make them feel.
Exactly. Because I mean if you stand at the door like you were chewing on sour chewing on lemons all the time,
and who want to come in?
Nobody wants to come in there. You can't even say good morning or say hello to you treat people as the good book say, treat people the way that you want to be treated.
Right.
You know, but everybody does not have that mentality. We say we do.
Yeah.
But do we really show it that we
That's
do?
Right. That's right. So you talked about being authentically you.
Yes.
That has been a common thread, a common theme that has, you know, come across since these last few episodes.
Okay.
Figuring out who they are.
Yes.
And just being authentically you.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Cato supports you in that. It's not like you have to have this facade of I'm this person, but I'm not. Was it hard for you to say, because I'm assuming you don't wear hats?
I don't.
Okay. Mm-mm. Was that a hard decision? Was that hard for you to say, this is who I'm going to be and I'm going to find my own place, my own style, my own way? Was that difficult for you?
Mm-mm.
Not at all. Okay, good.
Because from time to time, and I haven't done it in a long time, I love a fascinator.
Yeah.
Because I can clip it on or wear a headband.
Yes.
Depends on how I got my hair.
Yeah.
But like our first Sunday in Bishopville, the very first time we were there, it was Communion Sunday.
Okay.
Had on a white dress. And one of his, the members of the home church, which is St. James United Methodist Church, brought me a hat. Well, she contributed to it. Let me say that and let me pick it out. I don't know. Well, I can't say I don't know what I was thinking. It was a beautiful pink hat.
Okay.
And I'm pregnant. So I'm like, oh, this look cute. And then when I look at myself, I'm like,
this not it.
This not it. But I'm gonna go on anyway. But then after that, I was like, if you don't wear hats, you don't wear a physical hat. Now, I wear different hats as far as pertaining to ministry.
Yes, 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 yes.
But that hat, I was like, Troy was like, you ain't wearing that no more. I said, nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that head is kind of like still sitting at the top of my closet. I wore that hat that one time.
Wow. That's good that you say that. Like, and someone did send that to me one time. It was like, listen, you may not wear a church hat, but you wear many hats. Not a physical hat, but you wear many hats. And I think that's what God wants it to be for us.
Yes.
Right? Not necessarily. I mean, if you wear your hats, that's fine. Listen, Laura Bell has her hats.
Right.
She gonna wear her hats.
Right.
My mother-in-law, Mother Plowden, she gonna wear her hats. That's what they do. That's in their time.
Exactly.
That's what they did.
Exactly.
But not get so caught up, for us not to get so caught up. And I remember going through that thinking I had to wear the hats. Mm-hmm. Or I had to wear church suits. Or I had, and it one day, and I talk about it in a previous episode, I was like, this not me. That was what my mama did.
Right.
And I'm not my mama.
Right.
And it's okay. So I had to find what worked for me.
Yes.
And just go with that.
Right.
And I think people, again, would appreciate knowing that you are just being authentically.
Yes,
you.
Man.
So shout out to those who wear hats.
Yeah.
We love you. And they are beautiful. They're fashionable. I love it. It's just not my thing.
Right. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
And it's okay.
Right. Because I'm like, I know they be hot under that hat.
Yeah.
Don't they be hot underneath that hat? Yes. You know.
Right.
But like you said, it's every first lady has their own persona.
Right.
And how they, you know, carry themselves. I mean, everything matching from the hat down to the shoe to the bag.
Yes.
Even to the lap cloth.
Yes.
Everything matches. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's that prestige look. I like that. But I'm like, you're going to get like a cute dress, some heels, some makeup, some fashionable jewelry, hair done nice and neat.
Right.
You know, like that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
That's just be authentically you.
Yeah, that's it.
So your favorite scripture, and I printed out so I can make sure that I said it right.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Why is that one of your favorite scriptures?
Oh, because I look at a lot of things that I have done in my life that I have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
At one point when I was little, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a banker because I like money.
Okay.
And then that changed real quick.
Okay.
And then like, I want to be a teacher. So I did teacher cadet when I was in high school.
Okay.
Then that little test called the Praxis test when I got to South Carolina State, Praxis wouldn't let me be great.
Okay.
So that scripture always reminded me, you may have plans, but know who holds the plans and who holds the future. Okay, you want to go in this direction? No, there are other, you know, I have something else for you to do.
Yeah.
So that scripture always like gets me through. Some other scriptures get me through too. But that one just like really, really stands out to me the most. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So it's like you're saying, you have your own plan. You think you know which way you're going to go. But God says, nope.
Exactly.
And he'll let you go through it.
Yes.
Right. He'll let you try to figure it out.
Exactly.
And then he'll redirect you.
Yes.
And say, no. And I think that's important. That's why it's important to have a relationship. Because when you have that relationship, he will guide you.
Yes.
He'll direct you. And even in times where it was like everything feel like it's falling apart,
yes,
he still says, nope, I got you.
Exactly.
I know the plans I have for
yes.
you. For you to prosper.
Right.
And so, yeah, I get it. And with all of this, and I'm sure, like you said, this was not a part of your plan, being married to a pastor and having the church and all that comes along with it. And now, cause you really like, Cato is also in administration.
Exactly.
So that's a whole nother area that you're pushing him. So it's like all of these things coming together. And years ago, I don't know, 10 years ago, you probably never thought that this is where you would be. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. I just knew Troy had to call on his life when we were dating.
Wow.
And I knew it then.
Okay.
But I didn't realize I was included. With that.
Yeah.
But it goes back to say, God is so funny. He's so funny. Like, okay, you knew the calling was on his life, but you had no idea what I was getting ready to set y'all up for at all. I remember Troy asked me, he was like, are you ready to be a first lady? I said, let me tell you something. I said, stop you right there. I don't like titles. They could call me Lady Jessica. I said, that is fine with me. And I still don't get upset when people say, hey, first lady. Hey, you know how you do, because it's a matter of respect.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
So
yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So yeah, his plans are always the best for us.
Yes.
No matter what we try to put it together right. and try to make it happen.
Right.
His plans are always the best for
yes.
us. So
yes.
Miss Maddie is how old?
5.
She is 5 years old.
She'll be 6 in December.
Wow.
My birthday is in December. Okay. And our anniversary
is in December. Yes. But so she'll be 6 in December.
6 in December.
So how has that been, you know, trying to keep her busy and setting the boundaries, mm-hmm. you know, as a mom
right.
and first lady, you know, right. how has that been going?
It's juggling.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. but I had to realize, I was a cheerleading coach at Manning High for about
you
13
were.
Years.
Yes, you were.
And I, when Maddie turned 2, I let it go.
Okay.
Because Maddie started getting involved in dance and she was involved in different things. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be there for her.
Yeah.
Of course, I had help.
Okay.
Thank God for my mom and my mother.
Yes, yes.
But I wanted to be there for her.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I want to do, I like this mommy thing, you know, taking her to dance class, mm-hmm. picking her up, hearing about mm-hmm. her day. And when we get home, it's still like, okay, we got to get homework done. Got to get bath done. Got to fix your hair. We got to figure out what I'm going to cook for dinner.
Right.
But she's always just so sweet.
She is a sweet baby.
She is. She is. She's just the sweetest. Okay. And I'm like, baby, you don't even realize you a PK. You don't even know what that means. You don't know what that
yes,
entails.
Yes.
But she's involved in church.
Okay.
Because Troy was the minister of music at his church when we started dating.
Okay.
So he still plays. We have a piano at the house.
Yes.
And when Maddie was about 2 or 3, he was playing. And Maddie just started singing. And I would play gospel music on her playlist.
Okay.
So Maddie's favorite song to sing is Ain't No Need to Worry.
Mm-hmm.
So she sung that at church. And Troy was like, I didn't know she was going to get up there and sing. That she get that from me.
Right.
She gets that from me.
Yes, yes.
But she adjusts as well. I had to laugh. Might have been 2 months ago. She was like, we're going to another service. I said, just one more.
Mm-hmm.
Just one more. Mm-hmm. She was like, okay, mommy. Okay.
Okay.
She said, okay.
Right. So yeah. Building the foundation in her as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's, you know, involved with the singing, praise dance. And she did it for the first time during Easter.
Okay.
So, and she loves people like I love people.
Okay.
So if we're together and you know, if I hug you, Maddie gonna come with you.
She's coming to hug.
Maddie's gonna
hug
you too, you know, so she has that personality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just finding the boundaries, trying to juggle everything is really important. So, what would be, well, first, let me go back. Has mm-hmm. anyone ever given you any advice that's helped you to, not just maybe as a first lady, just in life in general, that you share with other people? Like, hey, this is what someone helped me with. Let me give you some advice.
Advice I always give people, going back to the love thing, mm-hmm. be kind, be respectful mm-hmm. to people, because you don't know, your attitude can change a person's mood or bring them down mm-hmm. even more. Mm-hmm. So just always, you know, smile, try to smile. You know, like I said, I'll make people smile in a heartbeat by saying something funny or doing something funny. But just love people, enjoy life.
Okay.
Things happen, but both of us being educators, kids leave Earth, people leave Earth quicker than, you know, the quickness.
Yeah.
So things that you don't get a chance to say, it's mm-hmm. like, just let stuff go. That's why mm-hmm. I'm always telling people, mm-hmm. let it go. Don't stop holding on to grudges, you know. And I say this at church and whenever I speak and stuff like that, because person that you did not get a chance to make amends with could be gone the next day.
Absolutely.
And then you don't get a chance to do that, mm-hmm. you know. So, but yeah, love people, enjoy life.
Yeah, love people,
and laugh. Yeah,
it's okay. It takes nothing.
Nothing
to smile and to laugh.
Because
exactly. I promise you can find humor in just about
everything. Exactly. You can.
Just about
everything.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if I'm a new first lady, let's say I'm a new first lady, mm-hmm. what would you tell me? Same thing? Just love people
and be yourself.
And be yourself.
Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Look, know when to, like, okay, I might need to tone that down.
Okay, come
tone
on.
Tone that down a little bit. You know, maybe you shouldn't have, you know, just get to know your congregation.
Yeah.
Get to know your people. Mm-hmm. Make yourself approachable.
Okay.
you know, because sometimes we could come off kind of cold, like,
yeah,
that's not me, mm-hmm. you know, to just sit, mm-hmm. hi, how are mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. you know, hi, how are you, you know, just like I said, just be yourself.
Yeah, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Have you found time to take care of yourself, self-care? What does that look like for you?
Pedicures.
Okay.
I ain't got my nails done now, but uh-huh. just like going to just do like the girly things.
Okay.
Troy Fuss, we had a, without Fuss, he had a discussion. He was like, you don't mind binge watching in front of the TV. I sure don't. I was mm-hmm. sitting in front of a TV, HGTV. I love HGTV. Okay. I sit there and watch it between that and the Cooking Network, believe it or not. I used to love watching Law and Order. I was like, nah, but then sometimes okay. my TV consists of being even on Nickelodeon,
yes.
Disney.
That's where we are now. Yeah, yes, yeah. where you are now. Yeah. Okay, okay.
So, but I could sit and watch like a good movie or a mm-hmm. good show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, working out, I'm a Zumba instructor.
Oh, really?
I've been teaching Zumba about 10 years. Yeah.
You busy, Jessica. Goodness, but that's awesome.
Whenever I find okay. time, and that's like my let out okay. energy. I mean, I work out sometimes throughout the week, okay. but on the weekends, if I'm available, I co-teach at the Zone in Manning.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's great. Okay. You know, and then Troy was like, well, if you're doing Zoom, I mean, you could do it at church. Say less, babe. Say, I got you. If they want to work out or, you know, get a fitness
right.
thing,
right.
you know, so different areas of your life where you have gifts and talents, you can also incorporate it into the church. You can.
And I think people need to understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like I can only do this
right.
outside of the exactly. church. And of course, there are certain things, no, you cannot
right.
do in church.
Right. Exactly.
But for the most part, God has graced us with gifts so yes. that you can utilize them right. in the church.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Why not? So Zumba is a fun way to, I love Zumba.
Yes.
Fun way to exercise. And so it's a good way to incorporate people. They have yeah. a good time
exactly.
the music and all of that. So you're right. God has graced us with these gifts.
Yes.
So why not utilize it
right.
in the church? So
right.
Yeah. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority.
Yes, shout
well.
Out to the ladies, the Soros,
yes, Soros.
The best. The, we can
okay.
leave that on.
All right. Don't want to get anybody upset.
Right, exactly. All right.
Love all D9.
Yes, we do.
So like I said, you've just been juggling all of
yes.
that. But self-care, I hear you said self-care is very important.
Yes.
You got to find some time for yourself because
right.
if not, you get lost in
exactly
all of the hats that we wear,
right? Exactly,
that you will forget
get right
who you are
exactly.
So I think that's important. You agree?
Right,
that's
I do.
Okay,
I agree.
Yeah.
And also encouraging, I would encourage first ladies to encourage their husbands to take breaks.
Come on, let's talk about it.
You going from this meeting to that meeting?
Yes.
You members are calling.
Yes,
is. You have to take a break for yourself. You preach mm-hmm. Sunday after Sunday after mm-hmm. Sunday. You know, I'm telling Troy, like, I'm gonna go do something. Go. Enjoy yourself. Just go because you have to recharge. Because you can like the saying is you can't pour from an empty cup when you've been giving.
That's right.
But I also learned that when the members are calling on the pastor, not for foolishness, but for visions, it shows that the pastor is sparking something within the church
yeah.
that's making people step outside of that comfort zone. And we back to that word.
Yeah.
Push it.
Push. Right.
So, but yeah, I'm telling him like, okay, he was like, I'm going to take one. When he
take
says
one.
I'm going to take one, I encourage him.
Yeah.
Take one. I'm not one of these ones like, no, they need you at the church. No. Mm-hmm. Look, when you at church, you pass them.
Right.
You Reverend Cato. Home, you bae. Look.
Right.
You need
right.
to relax.
You need to relax.
And normally after church, naps.
He
does it. I mean,
nap.
He does. I don't. I can't nap because
really?
I'll be up all night.
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
Girl, those are the best. Those after church naps. You had church, had a good
word. Right.
Got some good dinner.
Yeah.
And just relax. So however you relax, whether it's a nap,
right.
whether it's just sitting back watching
TV,
right. Or watching TV with Maddie, playing with Maddie.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's important because taking breaks is unnecessary. Jesus took breaks.
Yes.
Like he got away from the crowd.
Yes.
And so as hard as it is sometimes, mm-hmm. it is important that you take breaks. So I think people need to understand that, especially pastors and first ladies.
Yes.
That it's okay to steal away.
Wait, right.
steal away sometimes for your mental health. Yes. For your mental health. Because if not, it'll be tough.
Right.
You can't pour, like you said, you can't pour
from an empty cup.
You can't do that.
I remember Troy took a break. He was like, "You going to church?" And I went. I left him home because that was your time for you to do whatever it is that you wanted to do, whatever rest that you need to take. He was like, "You going to me and Maddie? You got the house to yourself.
Yeah, it's quiet.
It's quiet and everything else." And even on the afternoons after he preaches from like a regular service, I'll get Maddie out the house. We'll go. Okay. We'll go. So he still has those breaks, but I mean, like, take a break.
Like, break. Yeah.
I'm taking off a Sunday.
Okay.
And I all like encouraging pastors, take your breaks.
Yeah.
Because like when COVID came in and stuff like that, things change.
Yes.
And then it caused you to look at things in a different perspective.
It does.
So,
it
does. Yeah, take a break.
Take a break. Yes.
Take a break.
That was a hard lesson that Jeremy had to learn. But he got it.
Right.
It took a few times and a few lessons from different people and conversations with different people. But he got it. And so, all right. So it's time for message of the week. MOTW.
Okay.
MOTW. So for those of you who don't know, MOTW is message of the week. And so what I do is talk about the message that I received on that Sunday, this previous Sunday, and just get some nuggets and some words of encouragement to help us going through.
Okay.
So I want to talk, if you want, you know, what Kato preached about yesterday.
Kato preached about yesterday what the truth will cost you.
What the truth will cost you.
Yes. Wow. What the truth will. When I say he stepped on toes.
Okay.
Ooh, Jesus.
Okay.
And then I tell him, I'm always encouraging him. He could ask me, how did I do? And he stopped asking me, babe, you did so good today. Mm-hmm. You were awesome on today. And I'm sincere when I say that.
Right.
I'm not just telling that just to stroke his ego.
Yes.
Because you have to be able to pull something out of the message. So what I pulled out of that message yesterday is that you have to be real with yourself. Know what God has in store for you at the cost of being real, if that makes any sense. Because a lot of times we want to push things off to the side and act like, oh no, that really don't apply to me. Or, oh no, I'm not really. Yes, you are really doing that.
Yeah.
And this is what it's going to cost you if you keep being in denial about not living in truth of what God has in store for you, for your family. Everything that's connected to you is going to have a cost. So you live being like real and living with your truth, being real with yourself. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So you had to just be real.
Real, exactly.
And there's a cost either way.
Way, exactly.
If you're not being real and authentic and not doing what you're supposed to do, there's a cost.
Right.
So yeah. So be true to yourself.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause he talked about also as it pertains like in the church as far as ministry and stuff is concerned, how you have to own up to stuff that you have said and done that might have caused like a discord or whatever case may be in the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, go to that person and admit when you were in the wrong and like your mind frame, what you were thinking, you wasn't thinking on what the vision would be for that particular ministry. You had your own personal agendas, your own hidden agendas, and everybody, it caused people not to be on one accord.
Yeah.
So
that
goes back to that truth part. Be real, but also check it. Make sure you're checking in with God with whatever, you know, whatever you're seeking
to do. Absolutely. That's good.
Yes.
That's good. So our message of the week was from Isaiah 40. And I have to write notes because so it was from Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. And so when you get a moment, I could read.
Okay.
But that's the scripture. Wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Be of good courage. Okay. Yes. So his message, his subject was what I pulled from it was wait well. How do you wait well? It was good. So a couple of things. In life, we all go through challenging times, difficult times. It's one thing when you go through and know why. But sometimes we reap what we sow, right? And then sometimes we go through things and we have absolutely no understanding on why we are going through it.
Yes.
And when things get difficult, one of the main things we always ask is, why me? Lord, why me? Yeah. Why do I have to go through that? Why do I have to go through that? But even when you don't know how you're going to get out, you have to know who is going to bring you out.
Come on, Pastor P.
I was like, That's good. When you have a relationship with God, you get to go through it with a promise.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
So when you have a relationship with, no matter what you're going, the difficult times, the challenging times, if you have a relationship with God, you know, I'm going to go through it, but God is going to bring me through.
Yes.
He has made me a promise. He won't leave me nor forsake me.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going through, but I'm going through with the promise. And you don't have to go through by yourself.
Yes.
God wants you to trust him because he gave you a word, not based on what you see. So faith, right? Yes. It's not based on what you see. It's based on what he has said. Yes. God, I trust you. You said you're going to bring me through this.
Yes.
You said I'm the lender, not the borrower.
Yep.
You said I'm the head, not the tail.
Yes.
No matter what it looks like, I know what you said. You got to trust him no matter what. He gave a word that he would be a comforter, but he doesn't tell them that they will be going through for 90 years. So that's the people of Israel. That's what that scripture is. Y'all got to go read it. So he told them that they were going to go through, but he didn't tell them it was going to be for 90 years. They were going to have to wait for 90 years on the promise that he gave. Can you imagine? And what he said yesterday is we don't like to wait 9 months. I said 9 minutes. I was like, 9 minutes. Like, we don't want to wait. But imagine waiting, having to wait for 9 years. But he said that he was going to be a comforter. And a comforter makes you feel peace when everything is chaotic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He lets them know that he is the creator and authority of the earth. And there is nothing in the earth that can overtake him. Because everything is under his authority. I thought that was good too. All other options won't bring you peace. He is the only option. All other options won't bring you peace. Mm. So it doesn't matter if you're trying to find peace, the comfort in your friends, mm-hmm. and your job, mm-hmm. and food, because I like chocolate. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you're trying to find in that husband, that wife, that boyfriend, wherever, there's all other options won't bring you peace.
Yes.
He is the one that's going to bring you peace. God is greater than any other option. Wherever you commit your energy and time is your God. Wherever you commit your energy and your time is your God. Ooh. I'm going to let that sit for a little bit.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You stepping on toes. I know. But he said that yesterday. I was like, "Woo!" Wherever you commit your energy and your time, that is your God. Mm. Some of us would solve our issues if we turn to God instead of people, expecting them to do what God can do.
That's why they say not to put your faith in man.
Okay.
But in God alone.
But in God alone. Mm. Right. There will be times when you want to give up, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on God makes you stronger than trying to figure it out by yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he gave a little illustration where he had two of the young boys running back and forth. And he had one, so he had a third one just sitting there. And he said, waiting may look like you are weak and not doing anything, but that's why you wait. Well,
yes.
Because the other people are running around and trying to figure it out on their own, and then they get tired.
Yes.
But you're waiting.
Yes.
And while you're waiting well, because he's renewing your strength while you're waiting. That gave me chills. I'm about to get excited all over again. And because we're looking active. Sometimes people see you waiting, and it looks like you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there, and you're being inactive. Mm-hmm. But you're just waiting. And while you're waiting, he is renewing your strength. He is being your comforter.
Yeah.
He is reminding you that the plans I have for you, okay, are for you to prosper. So you may be waiting. You didn't pass the praxis.
Right.
But I had something better for
Come
you.
Come on.
Okay, because you're the school counselor. Okay?
Yes,
he needed you to be a school counselor.
Yes.
And if you started off as teaching, that may not have brought you to
exactly.
That place. So he knew where he needed you to be. Okay. Okay. Hmm. So wait well. Jeez. My strength is being renewed. How do you wait well? How do you sit and be inactive when people are getting the blessings that you've been praying for? How does that look? Are you encouraging them? Are you excited for them? Or are you mad and angry? Are you pushing them?
Mm-hmm.
Are you loving on them while they're getting what they need and you're still sitting there waiting? So we need to wait well. We need to wait in love wait in peace, wait in excitement, wait in being comforted during the chaos. Even though it looks chaotic, I am waiting well.
Yes.
Ooh, that made me that run. Was good.
That's a good word. That's a good word. Listen. Made me want to run.
So yeah, you're not acting like the faith you proclaim you possess. So when you don't wait,
yes,
the faith that you possess, you say you possess, you're not acting like you have it.
Right.
And you're not waiting well. So we have to wait well.
Yes.
Huh, that was a good word. That's why I told y'all. I put it on there. I was like, listen, I can't wait to share my MOTW. It was a good word. It was what I needed. Kind of goes with what Cato tweeted about. But you just have to acknowledge.
Yes.
And even if you're not waiting well, acknowledge where you've messed
up. At. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And just ask the Lord, help me wait well.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
You said, 90 years, they didn't know they were waiting. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it now. Like this standpoint, this generation, you wouldn't even wait 10 minutes for food. You want it right then. You want it right now.
Right.
And the waiting part increases your faith even more. Just because you think God isn't moving right then and there, he's waiting to see how well you are willing to wait.
Yes, ma'am.
To get to what you want, whatever it is that you may be seeking, whatever it is you may be desiring. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn how to wait.
Right.
I had to learn how to wait. Yeah. And I did a intercession prayer for my aunt Kay for her church.
Yeah.
Hey, auntie. Mm-hmm. And I did a topic called Worth the Wait. Oh, no. Waiting in the waiting room.
Okay.
So waiting, W-E-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, mm-hmm. in the W-A-I-T-I, you know.
Okay.
And I tied it in together because we carry things that weigh us down. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, letting things go while you are waiting because you're trying to get to what God has for you. Mm-hmm. But you got stuff that's weighing you down. You got to learn to just let it go.
Let it go.
You know,
and give it to God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting.
Wait.
I need to go watch that one.
Yes.
I
gotta go watch that one. It was good. But I thank you for joining me. This has been conversation. Yes. Come back.
I'll be back.
Yes.
I'll be back.
Really, really appreciate you
thank
coming.
You for having me.
I know you're busy and Maddie has you busy and all the things. But I appreciate you. I think this is going to help someone. It's helped me. And I hope
you
help
me.
You.
I'm just excited.
Yes, I'm excited.
Because when I saw you post, I was like, oh my God. I said, this is me. I said, God, I see you. I said, this is for me because you have a lot of young first ladies.
Yes.
That's coming aboard. It's a different generation.
It is a different generation.
And traditional versus where we are now meshing together.
Yes, that's important.
It is because you cannot let go of certain traditions because it's the foundation but there's nothing wrong with adding to the foundation to build upon it for the next generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great way to end it. That is absolutely true. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for joining us on the Sacred Row. It has been a pleasure. I hope you have enjoyed it. Please make sure that you have subscribed, liked, followed, and shared. We're on YouTube, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you are following us and liking us and telling someone else about us. It is helping. I hope it's helping. I think it is. The word I'm getting that it is, I know it's helping me. And so I hope it's helping you. And so remember, no matter where you are, no matter where God has placed you, wait well.
Wait okay? well. Yes.
Accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. Thank you. I see you next time.